You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahan, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I was like, Kyle Meredith, I know that name.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for being here, for checking this out. Hopefully you've hit that subscribe button. If you're not already, you do that. You get new interviews just like this one every single week. It's Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please give the series a rating and a review if you're having a good time. We've had some great guests on lately. We've been having a great time. Dean Wareham and Britta Phillips were just here, of course, of Luna, of Dean and Britta, of Galaxy 500. Alan Walker, the Norwegian DJ. We looked back at interviews with Randy Bachman from Bachman Turner Overdrive and the Guess Who, and the late Gary Brooker of Procol Harum. Zara Larsson, the Swedish pop star, dropped in. Seth MacFarlane, he of Ted, Family Guy, American Dad fame. Shirley Manson of Garbage, Mark Hamill of Star Wars, Finn Wolfhard of Stranger Things. They've all been here, and it's what you can get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking once again with Lucy Dacus. Lucy, the indie rock equivalent of a gut punch wrapped in a warm blanket, a Richmond, Virginia native who sings like she's been reading your diary back to you in slow motion. Lucy broke out with her 2016 debut, No Burden, which was originally recorded as a college project and then accidentally launched an entire career. Of course, she followed it with Historian, a concept album about grief, if that concept is Let's Destroy You Emotionally, track by track, and home video, where she unearthed her teenage memories with the kind of brutal honesty that should come with a warning label. She's also, of course, one third of Boy Genius alongside Phoebe Bridgers and Julian Baker, because apparently one emotionally devastating singer-songwriter wasn't enough. Lucy is a master of the slow burn and the lyrical landmine, and she returned in 2025 with a new album called Forever is a feeling. It's a record that unfolds like a romance film, just not the rom-com kind, which we will talk about. In fact, we're going to discuss writing songs in real time to process emotions, performing early tours in European churches and museums, and embracing reverence without necessarily embracing religion. She also gets into her poetic lyricism, including the introspective lost time and dreamy limerence, and how covering Jim Croce's Time in a Bottle unexpectedly mirrors her own meditations on how love and time collide. We also talk about the parade of indie all-stars on the album, Barty Strange, Madison Cunningham, Phoebe, and Julian, and the surreal joy of texting your heroes to hop on stage. All of that and more as we dig into Forever is a Feeling. It's Kyle Meredith with Lucy Dacus.
Doing good. Good to see you too.
Man, okay. So the congratulations, right? Forever is a Feeling. It's incredible. It's incredible.
Thanks.
I mean, it really is incredible. And I've been seeing you. Well, first I'll also say you'll be here in Louisville. You'll be back on September 17th at the Louisville Palace. So we're very excited to have you back in town. I was looking through your recent tour photos, and there was a little Louisville connection because Julia Steiner from Rat Boys, who sang with you recently,
yeah.
She was my intern way back in the day.
Whoa!
Great to see her out
I
there.
I love that. She's a real rocker. Rat Boys are such a good band, and singing with her was so awesome. Yeah, that was the day before my birthday in Chicago.
What they've done and how they sound, but also like all the people that you've had on stage with you throughout this tour already. I mean, it's a pretty good time to be a fan, I guess.
I mean, it's cool to be at the point where it's like, I've now met some of my heroes and I can just like text them and be like, are you around? And like Kevin Drew and Toronto and Jen Wozner and Samia and Ozier, surprisingly, is kind of crazy. And then Katie, Gavin, and Jasmine Forti, who were opening for me, took shifts on some nights and singing that song Bullseye. It was really, really sweet.
But it kind of started from there too, right? Because, I mean, the album itself, solo album, is always sort of the misdirector, right? Because Barty Strange, Madison Cunningham, Blake is on here. It's like the world that you've created is basically our playlist here at WFPK. So it's nice of you to do.
Anyway. Well, mine too. Yeah. And that's why, I mean, these are all like musicians that I love. Melina Duterte, J-Som, new music coming out, a bunch of absolute heaters in the group.
I want to go back to the beginning of the tour too, because it started with you playing in some like beautiful, I guess, churches. Were they churches?
There were museums and churches, just like special, quiet, beautiful places.
It, with that though, with some of them at least, churches too, and you know, the album cover sort of like, is it religious iconography that you're drawn to, or is it just sort of coincidental that those sort of images line up like that?
I'm really drawn to churches. I mean, I grew up in church, not in the churches that we played in. Like, we got to play in Église Saint-Eustache in Paris, which is like this just beautiful cathedral where like you can't even see the ceilings if you look up. It's like where the sky is supposed to be. And then, places like that always feel super reverent, whether or not you're into God.
Sure.
They inspire like a quietness and an attentiveness and an introspection that I really like personally. And then I kind of wanted to do some shows, smaller shows, just to like get back into the swing of things and share the music to people who didn't know it. Getting to play the songs for people that had never heard them felt like when I used to do open mics. Like, it felt like 10 years ago or something in my life, because I was like, oh, everybody here is just listening, and it's just a couple hundred people in each place. And it was kind of scary, but I would do it again. I mean, it was really beautiful.
Were you trying, do you take the time to try to read their faces to see how the song is landing?
Yeah, I'm a big, like, eye contact person. I don't really even mean to be. It's just, like, that's what I'm looking at. And then people, you know, sing along, or they, like, raise a hand, and it just, like, gets my attention. And it does help me feel like a person and not, like, a character. Uh-huh. And just to feel like we are all in this room. Like, I'm on stage, but like we're all equally people and having an experience. And yeah, that's kind of like the reason to do it in the first place.
Do you ever find that you've held that eye contact too long to an uncomfortable degree?
Sometimes I'll play with people like that, or like I'll look at someone and then I'll notice that they noticed, and I'll be like, yeah, I am looking at you, you know, I'm allowed to, you're looking at me, why can't I look at you back?
It's that moment though where you're like, you're into it, we're into it, and suddenly I'm like, okay, I gotta, can I look away? Is it okay if I look away?
I think it has embarrassed some people.
And we'll be right back right after this. Hey, it's Kyle Meredith. Are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful, personalized GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. And getting started is simple. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. And no matter where you live, Effecty makes it easy to access GLP-1 treatments. The entire process is online and remote, so you can start your weight loss journey from the comfort of your home without the hassle of commuting or long wait times. Whether you're in a major city or a small town, you can access top-tier care from licensed professionals at your convenience. So, are you ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code KMW at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com, and use the code KMW to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatments. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. So what are you waiting for? Get started today.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Lucy Dacus.
One of those shows, you covered Jim Croce's Time in a Bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Which...
beautiful song.
Great pick, absolutely. I'm sort of taking some out of context because you have the song on the album called Lost Time, which is not, those two songs I don't think are about the same thing. But like just because of when this album lands and knowing that you covered that, maybe there is no good reason why you covered that, but like does this album get to say anything as like an Into Your 20s album or something like that?
They are kind of related, like Time in a Bottle, there's the line about like, there never seems to be enough time to do the things you want to do once you find them. Like that's the Jim Croce lyric. And yeah, I mean, the next lyric is like, I've looked around enough to know that you're the one I want to go through time with. And Lost Time is like, I won't quote my own lyrics, but the whole like point of it is that you finally are willing to admit you love somebody. And so you look back on all the time that you were afraid to say it. And you're like, oh my God, like time is limited. I can't believe that I kept myself from that. And now I need to make up for it by like fully embracing it. So yeah, I would say they're super related. Yeah. So I don't know if it's really like late 20s, but more so just like maybe in your late 20s, you start to look at time differently because you're like, okay, like I need to live intentionally. I need to fill my time with what is gratifying and what matters to me. At least that's the lesson I got to have.
Well, so you won't quote your lyrics, but I will say Nothing lasts forever, but at least let's see how far we get. So when it comes my turn to lose you, I'll have made the most of it. Yeah. But it's also one of those lines like that could be an optimistic and a pessimistic line at the same time, you know?
Yeah. Or just neutrally, like knowing you're going to lose people either way. Not to be like that, but I am like that. Like, whether you break up or it's death or like, yeah, the end of time that brings it, like, it's just, you don't have unlimited time. So you have to make the most of it.
Well, and another one of those lyrics, and I won't quote more after this, but I will say.
You can. I also can. I don't know why. It just always feels funny.
I'm sure it would. But that's the thing. Like, this is bliss. This is hell. Forever is a feeling. And I know it well. Like, you've also always been as much of a poet as a songwriter, at least from my point of view. I mean, your lyrics have always been. When I hear people talk about the way they write, you know, the whole mystery of songwriting, that old chestnut and everything. And you know, it's for a lot of people, it just starts out as, you know, what word soup, you know, and then they chisel it into something. But your lyrics are they feel so realized that I can't see them starting in a way like that. You know, especially like, are there moments? A lot of times with songwriters, you look back on your songs and you figure out what they are, not in the mm-hmm. moment. But for you, like, are there moments in the album where you're going, fuck? Because that's what I'm doing when I'm listening.
Yeah, I think this one, more than any other record, I was writing as I was feeling things to figure out what I felt. So, I mean, there's some songs that I started confused and then I got to the end of writing it and I was like, oh shit, I have to make some changes or like I need to react to this accordingly. Limerence was one of those songs that I wrote and then I was like, I think I have to tell someone I'm not in love anymore and just see what happens next.
By the way, Limerence, that's I wrote down a little Carly Simon, a little Mitski.
That's super flattering. Wow. I mean, yeah, that's great. I really like that song. And I want to shout out Phoenix Ruziamanis, who's in my band too, who played the violin and the piano in that song and orchestrated it. And it's one of my favorite ones.
Did it start out when you first started writing it? Did it already have that dreamy quality to it? Or does that come sort of later?
I knew it needed to be dreamy and kind of have this feeling of like you're at like a party or like you're that dissonance between like being in a happy atmosphere but having turmoil inside. So I wanted to float between this kind of like forcing a smile happiness to like serious, truthful contemplation.
Well, it just becomes another one of those movie moments too. Like even that first track, right? I mean, that. You talk about the violin. I mean, that it puts you in a headspace. You start seeing like if this were a movie, this could be a movie, right? This album could be a movie. Like, what is Maybe. This movie?
Yeah, it'd be probably a love story. You know, it's a romance, but also like probably not a comedy. No, what I'm saying.
It's not the rom-com.
Not a rom-com.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the track list and going on and on. And I mean, you've got Julian and Phoebe on here. Of course, they're on the same tracks, but that's kind of, is that part of the story? Like, how did that tour and that album affect how you did this record? Because if nothing else, there was so much time in between the two solo records. Like, did you have to hold this one at bay?
I'm never holding anything at bay. I think everything's just cooking at whatever temperature it's cooking for whatever amount of time it takes. And I wrote a lot of these songs before and during and after touring. And I even started recording after we played Coachella. So my starting this record happened before touring, but then I didn't finish it until like September 2024. And just, you know, took off a lot of months in between, which is nice because then you get perspective and you think of, you meet new people and you think like, I'd love to hear what, you know, you would bring to this. And I've never gone slow. Like my first record took a day. My second record took a week. One video took about 3 weeks all in all. So this was different.
But at least, you know, finishing it not until September, it's not one of those stories where it was done and then you had to like, just put it back here for a year because I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
No.
you've got to speak for it of a person that you were, 2 years ago or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good to not leave it in the past and have to dredge up like old feelings. So I still stand by everything, and actually even my old records, like I try not to ever put out a song that I would like regret. It's like something I think about, and when I'm writing, I'm like, this is petty, or I won't think this in like a week or maybe even an hour. And I kind of try to put those away because I'm gonna have to sing them. So I want to like write things that I will proudly be able to sing over and over.
Well, you put out some amazing, amazing art and songs with this, and I can't wait to see it live too. Just from the videos and the pictures, the dresses you're wearing and the stage and the couch. I mean, it's all so like beautiful visually,
Thanks.
what you're doing. And
Thanks.
and if you ever do another covers record, I'm really hoping Time in a Bottle makes that one because that's a
Yeah, I should bring that back. And Alan, my guitarist, is so good at playing that one.
Yeah.
So I'll think about it. I'll make a note to maybe bring it out for this show.
Somewhere there. All right on. Well, Lucy, it's great to talk to you again. Thank you so much for taking the
Yeah.
time today.
Likewise.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. Now, for fun, I'm also going to include one of our other earlier interviews we taped in 2019, in which the year also doubling as the name of a covers EP that she had just put out. The EP itself, called 2019, consisted of covers and originals based around holidays throughout the year. It included Springsteen's birthday and the start of tourist season as just a couple of the thematic moments. We got to talk about her banding together with Boy Genius and a whole lot more. So let's get into this, a little bonus moment, part two of Kyle Meredith with Lucy Dacus.
Hey, Kyle.
So this year, though, we get a collection of songs, the 2019. I don't know if you're calling it an album or an EP or just a collection, but it's all covers, right?
Well, actually, half of them are originals. A lot of them are covers. Well, four are covers, three are originals, but I think we're calling it an EP.
I didn't know about the original side of it. So these are brand new songs?
Yeah, the next one is an original. I just have these songs and these covers that I've been recording without really knowing like where they would go. And I kind of like realized they had all of this in common. All of them had like sort of a temporality in common. So putting them out over the course of the year around their respective like time periods made sense.
And I know that they were called the holiday songs, kind of at the first glance, as everyone kind of ran with that. But of course, holidays is used a little bit liberally right there. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, Springsteen's birthday, I guess it could be a holiday to someone, and maybe that's you.
It's a holiday in the Dacus household for sure.
Like, how big of a hero is this guy? I mean, that's a stupid question, by the way, because I feel like Bruce is a hero for all of us.
Yeah. He's my dad's favorite artist. He's pretty much like one of the only people that my dad like listens to. He just like listens to Bruce nonstop, and I hated him as a middle schooler, like around that age, because I was just like being rebellious and like not wanting to just take on my parents' music taste. But over time, after listening for however many hundreds of hours I probably listened to, just like being in the car with my dad, there's no denying that he's like one of the best songwriters alive, and like he's such a poet, and the arrangements on his songs are super creative as well. He manages to pack in a lot of joy, but also really earnest material. Like I think that a lot of people are influenced by him, whether they know it or not.
It's interesting because I think a lot of us do that. We rebel against that music that our parents liked, and eventually it always comes back. I did this same thing with Bob Seger. Like, my teenage years, I wouldn't even let myself hear the songs because I was afraid I like them. And then, of course, I love Bob Seger songs, and there were so many examples of that.
Yeah.
That's yeah, it's funny how that happens.
Yeah. I think it's cute though. I feel like it's a cute moment when you realize like, wait, my parent has good taste. It's like part of growing up. It's an important step.
Well, as far as the covers on this, I started thinking about, sort of in contrast to your most previous record, you have that line in Night Shift about hoping these songs eventually feel like a cover. And I thought, with how weighty some of the context of some of those songs could be, I can understand why you would want that to happen. But I don't know. It would seem to me like doing covers like this would allow some breathing room away from some of those, you know, telling that same story over and over and over.
Yeah, absolutely. Covers, I feel like, are a celebration. You know, you only do a cover of a song if you like it. And I feel like, if anything, I'm, you know, making PSAs for people to go listen to the originals of all of these songs. Like, I think Love You Unrose is already a perfect song. And, like, I didn't cover it to try and improve upon it. I just covered it out of love for it. And, yeah, I think after, like, maybe kind of a weighty album, I wanted to do something kind of like fun, and I don't know, I feel like the pressure's off with this. Like, nobody was asking for it, but I'm able to just give it and share it with people really casually. Like, I don't know, I feel like absolutely zero stress about these songs coming out, because I don't know, they just are, all of them are celebrations. Even the originals, I feel like, are, you know, standalone, just like, yeah, celebrations.
Yeah, you know, and since you brought up Lovey and Rose, I mean, that's a perfect example of what I personally want out of a cover, because a lot of times is, you know, covers are nice enough, but, you know, it's just people covering the song and that's just it. But you actually add something to that, which is probably saying a lot, because we're talking about one of the all time greatest songs of all time, you know, and to give something else to that song. Agreed. I mean, that's everything.
Yeah. I'm glad that you see it like that. I didn't want to be, you know, doing sacrilege either. I feel like that was my one concern, was that people are like, the original's perfect, why would you touch this? It's like, no, I agree. I feel like I want more people to hear it, or hear it in a different context.
What else do we, I mean, what else can I learn about the originals then? Are they leftovers, you know, from the last records? Or, I mean, what can you tell me about them?
They're not really leftovers. Like, I don't write with an album in mind. I just write and then see, like, what themes are coming out. And so these are songs that didn't really fit on any albums, and I don't think they would in the future, because they are really self-contained and about the time that they're going to come out. Like, the next song is about Taurus season, and it's about me and my mom, who are both Tauruses, and Mother's Day is also in Taurus season, and so it's an original that's about that. You know, it doesn't feel right to, like, crowd it with other material. Like, it's about that time, it should come out in that time and just, like, rest there. And yeah, I am glad that we're finding a place to put them out, because otherwise they'd just be sitting on my computer or something. You know, I knew that I wanted them recorded. Like, I try to record things whether I'm going to share them or not, but I'm glad that Matador was down to do this kind of, like, atypical release plan.
Are you a big believer in astrology? Do you keep up with the periods of the year and the horoscopes?
I think that my guitarist, Jacob, says it in the best way. He says, it's not real, but I believe in it. You know, like, I'm not owned by it the way some people are. I'm not, like, a worshiper of astrology, but I do really like it, and I feel like it's a good entry point to think about yourself and, like, reflect, and also to talk about yourself to other people. Like, when people talk about their signs, immediately they can tell you, like, oh, and I resonate with this parts and not these other parts, and so you have a rough template for how they identify and what their personality is like, just from talking a little bit about these preordained identities. And I don't know, it's been a really growing experience. Like, I get how people think that it can be, like, tacky or hokey or diminutive or just, like, not real. But I like anything that allows people to talk about themselves in a deep way as quickly as possible, because I think that, you know, it's hard to find time to, like, really get to know people, especially for us that tour, you know, like, being in a different city every night. It's nice to have these, like, cultural touchstones that allow for depth.
I've never thought of it like that. I can appreciate that a little bit more. So this all comes on the heels, though. You know, this new 2019 project comes on the heels of what looked like a really busy year for you. I mean, Historian comes out, and there's the Boy Genius record. I mean, you're not wasting any time with this. But I did want to ask about, you know, Boy Genius too. I mean, having that kind of project, were you able to pick up any new songwriting tricks from that experience?
I don't know about tricks, but I feel like all of our confidence went up, you know, because we all write individually and have, you know, our own self-doubt or our own filters that don't let us say certain things. And we just trusted each other with half-formed ideas, and we're able to save each other's ideas from the trash can, you know. And I think that I've found such, like, trusted opinions in Phoebe and Julian as writers. So now, like, whenever we have demos, like, sometimes we'll send them to each other and, like, talk through content and phrasing. And yeah, it's just nice to have people that I trust who are in a similar place of life to me that, I don't know, can care about the music and that part of its life, you know, like totally unborn, like baby song. It's like, I don't know, for our songs, I feel like we're mothers to the songs equally.
I mean, we love Bite the Hand, of course. I mean, we still play that so much and so often. I did wonder, though, you know, given,
that's
you know,
awesome.
Given some of the lyrics, does that come from the same storyline as some of the songs that Historian represented?
I think so. I know that, like, Bite the Hand has a lot to do with your relationship to fans and just not wanting to, you know, play to the peanut gallery, I think David Bowie said that once. but, you know, trying to stay true to yourself, but also respectful to the people that literally give you your job, but also dealing with the disrespect, intentional or unintentional, of people that think they're being kind, but are really just encroaching on your privacy and, like, taking liberties with your space and your energy that you don't have. And I think that all of us have experienced guilt sometimes when we don't engage with audiences, but then also, like, on a personal note, like, when I go out after shows, sometimes people ask for my number or ask me to go home with them or, you know, touch my lower back or kiss me on the cheek without asking. It's, like, really taxing. And so not everyone's like that, but there's enough people like that that it just creates a lot of, like, anxiety. And right. So I think all three of us could relate. And that song is, so that's specifically where it came from for me. But luckily, I think it's a general enough song that it can be about any relationship where somebody's asking too much of you and you need to step away.
Right. I'm going to ask this then very awkwardly and respectfully. And with what you're saying and with what has been going on with Phoebe's life, with her in the news and what she's been talking about, I guess what I wondered is, you know, how has the support system between the three of you all been during this time?
It's been amazing. I mean, we talk on our group text most days, and I think that we all make each other's lives easier, you know, and we all have stuff going on. Phoebe's is the most public right now. But yeah, I think that she's just so relieved to finally have the story out there, which I resonate with. You know, people know now. I think it was more stressful for her to just contain that knowledge and wonder if people are being hurt continually. But now there's things in place that are going to, you know, stop Ryan from hurting more people, hopefully. And I'm just glad that she's so brave. And I think it's really going to be, it's going to save a lot of people. And it's already been inspiring to me to, like, speak up against things like that. And I hope that that's the effect that it has in the long term.
But even, you know, bringing it up, like you said, in a song like Bite the Hand, I mean, that has so much power and does so much good, you know, for everything, for everyone.
Thank you.
Yeah. So with this project here, you know, I see there's more touring throughout the year. Any other tricks up your sleeve that you're going to be coming down the line? I mean, I hear you're already thinking about that next record even.
I don't know if there's any tricks per se. I mean, I'm definitely working on the next record because I'm always writing. And we actually started demoing yesterday, which was super exciting, just at my house, putting down some guitar and vocals to start thinking about arrangements. But yeah, I don't know what the timeline is of that yet. It's in such a nascent state, but it's really exciting to me. The songs are really freaking me out. Like, they're much different thematically, at least in my head. They seem really different to me. I feel like I'm in a different state of mind than I was with Historian, and I don't know, making me kind of nervous and excited. And yeah, it'll probably be a while before it comes out, but it'll come out.
Can I ask about, like, what the type of things you're writing about this time around that's possibly freaking you out?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's so far away, so who knows what it'll become, but largely it has to do with girlhood and just, like, early friendships and family and all the weirdness that goes on, you know, while you're learning what the world is and what you have to unlearn, you know, over time. And yeah, that's, I might stop there.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I understand. While we're talking about that, though, I just read you were talking about your tuning, that you play in an open tuning, because I didn't know anything about that. And it sounded like a really interesting way to write.
Yeah, so I really wanted to be able to play the songs I was writing, because I've always written lyrics and melody together, but I couldn't play an instrument. And so I basically twisted the knobs on the guitar until it sounded good without any finger placement. So the tuning's D, A, D, F sharp, A, D. So it's like open D. And I used to just bar at any fret and it would be a chord, essentially, since it's an open tuning. And that allowed me to play shows before I was a guitarist. You know, it allowed me to like share the songs, which I think is way more important to me than whatever music has to offer on its own. You know, the message is more vital. And, you know, since then I've like settled into the tuning and I do slightly more complicated things. But yeah, I've recommended it to people who really just want to start putting an instrument to their thoughts. And it's like a really accessible way to start playing guitar.
Yeah. Well, I love what you do and we're big fans around here. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. And I look forward to hearing all the songs that come out this year.
Yeah. Thank you for taking the time as well. It's been a good chat.
Yeah. All right, Lucy. Take care. And we'll see you around.
You too.
All right. Bye. And my thanks to Lucy Dacus. The new album is called Forever is a Feeling. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that I put out every single week at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please do leave a review and give a rating wherever you're listening from as well. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. It's the best in new music and bonus interviews and lots of music news. In fact, one of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Gotta Buy Voices, The Breeders, Clover County, The Stills, The Strokes, Bjork, Indigo Girls, Bruce Springsteen, The Push Stars, Samantha Fish, Jake Shears, Kings of Leon, Granddaddy, The Beths, Wombo, Nancy Griffith, and my interview with McKenna Grace, who, of course, you know from movies like Ghostbusters and her music career. We talk about both of that. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.